Hey guys, welcome back. Another edition of the D2 Live, joined as always by four-time national road champion John Trevorrow and Olympic gold medalist and a regular of the D2. He's back, Scott Scooter McGrory.
It's been a while though, hasn't it? Scooter. Yeah, yes. I haven't seen you guys for a little while, so I thought I was getting snubbed, but I'm glad I'm back. I'm back.
No, you're back commentating major events. We need to get you on.
We love you, Scotty. We would have you anytime, but you've been very busy. If you're not busy with media, you're driving big trucks. You're a man of many, many talents these days, mate.
I'll tell you what, though, the dump trucks, there'd be a podcast. If I could do a live podcast from inside a dump truck, that'd be okay on a mining site.
Yeah, it's probably a reality show in that for sure.
Yeah, either that or a lawsuit, OHMS situation.
Yeah, how's it all going? Commonwealth Games obviously underway, and what a cracking time zone to be commentating from Australia.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, cat out of the bag. We are doing it out of Sydney, 9 hour difference, and with the track cycling, it goes into the early evening in Birmingham. So I got to bed at 5 a.m. this morning here in Sydney after getting into the studio at 5 p.m. Yesterday afternoon. Swimming was even worse. So I watched, when I got back, I flicked on the telly and I was listening to Thorpe and Basil Zemplis, you know, doing the swimming finals, and they go later into the evening in Birmingham. So and they're doing it from Sydney as well. So doing night shift at the moment. It's a bit challenging. The first day I haven't done any research at all today. I've only just got out of bed pretty much.
Well, I did listen to you. I listened to you early on because the heat snap for the Com Games were much earlier for the pursuit and all of that. And you and Kate, and you got a, well, you've been friends for a long time, but you've got a wonderful rapport. I love the way she talked. There was a fleeting shot of the men's team pursuit, and your old partner, gold medal partner, was down there on the track, and she said, she threw a line about how you two used to hold hands when you were competing together. It was very nice, I thought.
Oh, yeah, very nice, yeah. I did say to her, look, mate, you have to put some context to that, please, Kate. You know, that was in a Madison race where you do hand changes, and yeah, of course. But, hey, I'm really, really proud of Brett, really happy for Brett. He's only the interim national coach, so after Tokyo there were some changes, and Tim Decker was only offered, so the national coach for the last two Olympic cycles, Tim Decker, for the track endurance guys, he was only offered a short extension on his contract to get through until the new high-performance director was going to be appointed, because that guy might want somebody else. But Tim wanted a much more longer commitment and said no. So he's actually gone over to train the Chinese team. And we needed to put someone into his spot to at least get through to these Commonwealth Games. So Brett stepped up from the South Australian Institute of Sport coaching job and looked after them. And look, I've spoken to Brett at length about the situation he's in, because he steps in as the interim coach. The funding has been completely cut since Tokyo last year, and so much so that while the competition that he's up against in Birmingham, those guys have been racing throughout Europe, preparing, doing, you know, road events as well as their track training preparation. And there was no budget for this, for Moz Cycling and the federal government to do likewise for the Aussies. So their road racing preparation that they had to do, because there was nothing else, was Brett got them to drive from Adelaide to Bendigo to ride the Bendigo 3-day tour, just the club race. So while the Europeans and everyone, they're racing against the English and the Wales and the Welsh and the Canadians were racing in Europe in some pretty high-end road events, our Aussie boys went to Bendigo to do a club tour. And they still come away with a bronze medal in the team pursuit last night. So, you know, hats off to them. They've worked and trained hard.
Yeah, I mean, tell us a bit about that, because it's a virtually new team. Luke Platt, of course, he was there leading them. But so it's the younger guy. So tell us a bit about that team.
Yeah, sure. Well, you mentioned Luke. So Luke, okay, we know that Luke rides for Ineos now. He's going to be a big time pro. He's got an incredible ability and, you know, landed on his feet running, you know, with Ineos, doing some fantastic work earlier in the season, helping others. But he was the fifth rider in Tokyo for the team pursuit. So no disrespect to anyone, but he was ranked the fifth. The reason he ended up getting a ride after Alex Porter snapped his handlebars and went down, he would have had a race anyway, but he wasn't the first in the first four. He was the fifth rider, and all of those four have stepped out for whatever reasons, doing, you know, road pros or not racing anymore. And So Luke has now stepped in. So from the fifth best to our best, and that kind of shows where the team is at a whole. And the rest of them, first time Com Games, first time really representing at international level. So they had some World Cups this year and did well. So it's a real completely new look team, young riders, and as I say, good respectable times down around the 350 mark, which is pretty rapid, not too far off the winning time from New Zealand. They were at a 3:47, I think, so only a couple of seconds off them. So it was really handy. Good, respectful ride from young guys. And even for Luke, he hasn't done much track preparation with the guys. He just came from an altitude training camp over the last month or so, where he's preparing for the rest of the road season and trying to do a little bit with the track to make sure he's competitive here. And he's also doing the road race and time trial later in the week. So I think the performance of the guys was really good. And I'm not biased just because, you know, my mate is the coach. But I think when you add it all together, they've put in a pretty good performance, all things considered. And it looks good for Paris 2024. We've got another couple of years now to rebuild with this team, perhaps bring back Sam Welsford, Kel O'Brien, those guys into the team. And we should have a really good, solid group.
You're not biased, but you're plugging Brett Aiken and Bendigo.
Yeah. Well, I grew up on the Gold Coast, and I can talk about it, how good that is as well. You know, had the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games 4 years ago. But hey, on the other events, the women teams pursuit.
Well, I was going to go straight to that because I was just reading an article then that said you were quite emotional. And of course, there they are. There they set an Australian record, and Georgia Baker also actually is the partner of Luke Plapp. So, but they were very, very strong and took out the gold.
They were great. Emotional. I was. Really?
The story said it was online, an emotional.
I think it's good you're in touch with your emotions, Scotty. It's colour.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with you. You know, we're all modern people these days. It could have been that it was, I don't know, 4 in the morning and I was pretty tired. I don't know. That's why maybe I was emotional.
Tired and emotional, even better.
Look, fantastic group as well. 4 years ago, they won gold, but there was no one from this team in that one. So Georgia Baker was at the Commonwealth Games, but she didn't ride the team pursuit. She was the experienced one in the team yesterday. So fresh faces. Mae Plouffe is amazing. She's a young rider doing a double degree and incredibly strong. She's up for the individual pursuit tonight. So I think she's the favourite for that one. So she might be able to get a second gold medal. Chloe Moran and Sophie Edwards, two young riders, first time in the national team, and dominated. It wasn't even close. You know, they were almost catching the Kiwis at the end, 4:12, respectful time. So that was a great result from the ladies. And look, on day one, what more do you want? You know, three gold medals with Jess Gallagher and Caitlin Ward, the men's team sprint and women's team pursuit, a bronze with the men's team pursuit. Just a fantastic way to set things up. And, you know, hopefully the next couple of days it's going to be more gold medals.
You're talking about funding. Oh, just a quick one. You're talking about funding before. With the Commonwealth Games, does success lead to more funding? Will it move the needle at all? Because obviously, you know, we've got Paris coming up in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, it often depends on what performance parameters and targets that the national program has set each year. So I remember, you know, back in my day, we thought we were going to get more funding and some government grants from success at Commonwealth Games in 1998. I was in the road race. We had Jay Sweet won the race, so we all worked for him. And then we discovered that they'd actually just had the World Championships as the performance indicator for that season. So we got nothing out of winning.
Hang on, you got unlimited sustained cereal.
Yeah. It stained my memory too.
It's interesting, isn't it? You know, the Commonwealth Games, you know, my first trip away, a 20-year-old was off to the Com Games in Edinburgh.
You still got the bronze medal, Johnny?
No, I can't find it. But anyway, that's another story. But they were so relevant and so important. Like every second year was either the Com Games, the Olympics, and it was just as important to get to one or the other. And then it just seemed to lose its shine. Recently, there's been that sort of talk, you know, where the questioning the relevance of the Com Games. But then when they come on, Australia gets behind it. And this time, there hasn't been that negative talk about the Com Games. It's all been very, very positive. And it's great to see. And so
Duran helped, I reckon.
maybe, but yeah, you know, cycling, swimming, athletics, you know, it's great to see the importance back, the Commonwealth Games, the relevance is up. Oh, dear.
Oh, I agree with you, Johnny. The and I have noticed that as well, the last couple of editions of the Com Games. And all that really is, I think, is just the world's getting smaller. We can see, you know, if you go back to my time and yours, John, the world seems so much bigger, and we weren't getting these, you weren't watching sport on demand in live all the time. Everyone knows about, we understand that if people say, you know, oh, you're a professional cyclist. Like, well, yeah, I used to be. Oh, did you ride the Tour de France? I say, well, no, I didn't. And they, you know, they just walk away. You're nothing then. So there's that sort of level of understanding of how big all the big cycling and sporting events are, which has perhaps hindered the reputation of the Commonwealth Games. But when you look at cycling in particular, you know, chatting to Brett Aiken about this just last week before he went over, and he said, when we get to the bunch races on the velodrome, we have some of the best, like the world champions in points race, scratch race, omnium. They are in the Commonwealth. So, and they have it with depth of numbers. The English have got a couple of riders that have been world or former world champion in those disciplines. The Kiwis have as well. And we've got a young group of Aussies that are going to be racing against them. So 4 years ago, we dominated in all of the track cycling events, whereas this time we're going to be up against it because we are, it's like a world championships. That's how much depth there is in the Commonwealth in track cycling at the moment. So it means the racing is going to be great. Good to commentate, good to watch. And maybe I will get, you know, more tired and emotional over the next couple of days.
It was good to see almost Aussie connection, well, an Aussie connection it is, with the Kiwis winning the team's pursuit, because, you know, they had to recover from a terrible Olympics where they crashed out to let us get the bronze, but in the final for the bronze medal at the Olympics, and we've got an Aussie in that team,
Jordan Kirby, boy from Brisbane. Yeah. So yeah, look, it's a great story. If Australia couldn't win, which they didn't, then it was really good for the New Zealanders. We've all got so many good Kiwi mates as well, haven't we? So. 4 years ago, they qualified second fastest in the men's team pursuit on the Gold Coast and were disqualified for having one rider's handlebars was slightly too high. They picked it up before the race started. The mechanics scrambled to try and make the adjustment. They started the race. They finished. They qualified second fastest time. Then they re-measured the bars and they were 5 millimetres too high. So they were disqualified from the competition. Fast forward 2 years or 3 years for 2021, and yeah, they crashed in the race for the bronze. And I do truly think that they were going to come home and beat the Aussies after, you know, the tough time that Alex Porter had in the crash when his handlebars snapped. So they crashed out of that and didn't get the bronze medal. They've had a fair wait to get to this point to be competitive again and come away with gold. Throw in Jordan Kirby, who 4 years ago on the Gold Coast was a member of that Australian team that won gold. There were five riders and he rode in the qualifying, so he got a gold medal. And then they dumped him from the team leading towards Tokyo, said that he didn't have the skills or the short power burst to get off the start line to be a part of that team, and decided that he hadn't finished his career and went and rode for New Zealand. And now he's a Commonwealth Games gold medalist with the Commonwealth Games record beating the Australians. So, and look, he's a super nice guy. He's not going to say, oh, sucked in, guys. You know, look, you know, I've come back and I've beaten you. He's not like that. He'll do that gracefully. But I think everybody within the Australian team are happy except for the old performance director that kicked him out. I think everyone else so, remains in the team.
So we ditched him, and so he went over the ditch. And
exactly. Yeah. Now he's ditched us by winning. Yeah. So yeah, good on him. It was a great ride. Super strong team, and good on Jordan from Brisbane. He's got a coaching business up there. You know, he doesn't spend that much time in New Zealand, but he's got a gold medal. Well, and he became the first cyclist in the history of the Commonwealth Games to win medals for two different countries. Now, they happen to be gold, but he's the first one to win medals for two different countries. So good on him.
One other story I saw online, Scooter, was there was a bit of controversy. The English girls who finished third and weren't allowed to get their medal because there wasn't enough competitors?
Yeah, so there were four tandems, and to give out have them on the podium and have three medals, you need five. So there weren't enough entries by the regulations to have three medals awarded on the podium. And I actually made a mistake because I thought that the four was going to be enough. And when I first started commentating, I've just looked down to just check the names, looked up and saw the first medal being awarded and called that as the bronze, the English, and then realised, actually, no, that's the Scottish. They ran second. And I was a bit confused, then realised, oh, they'd just gone straight to the silver because the bronze wasn't awarded. But then as the next event was about to start, there was a huge cheer from the crowd because then they did go over and award the bronze medals to the English. It's just they didn't get their moment to shine on the podium, but they did get a bigger cheer from the crowd.
What, as they say.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'll send a message through to the official, a couple of Australians, Callahan, Greg Griffiths, a couple of the Aussie officials that are over there, and also Louise Jones, who is Welsh but lives in Brisbane. So we've got three Aussie officials that are at the Comp Games, so I'll pick their brains to find out what the story was there.
We've got a couple of live comments. Yark C says, good to see Scooter back on the pod after so long. And Annette Miller says, it was great to see cycling represented at opening ceremony with G and Cav as flag bearers. A couple of big scalps there, Scooter.
Yeah,
and that goes back to what John was saying, you know, about the credibility. You know, those guys, so those two in particular, they're racing the road, but they came through the track. You know, Cav won the scratch race at the 2006 Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. Geraint Thomas, obviously, a medalist in the past as well, and he won the Glasgow road race. He had a flat tyre, I think, about 2Ks to go off the front on his own and got a puncher, scrambled to change it and then get to the line and still win. They know what it means. You know, these guys understand the history of track cycling, where they come from, their roots, and they're super keen to be back racing, even you know, at the ends of their careers. So it shows some real respect from those guys. Not everyone is just only focusing on the Tour de France. These guys, you know, they understand the history of the sport as well. And Brad Wiggins falls into that category as well. You know, he's very much an historian of the sport, and if he was still racing, he probably would have popped up and raced here as well.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we're going to catch up with Sam Lane shortly, she's over in France. She came over for the Tour de France Femmes. What's on tonight?
Tonight we've got the individual pursuits. So, and don't forget the men's team sprint last night as well. So Matthew Glates and Matty Richardson and Lee Hoffman, amazing ride by those guys. They were clearly faster than everyone else. You talk about being world-class or not, those guys were absolutely next level. So it looks really good going forward. When we get to World Championships in Paris, the Dutch, the French, GB, when they all come together, they will be a challenge. But these guys are definitely medal contenders if they can stay together. So great to see them going so well.
And a great story for Matty Glasner, who's had, you know, his health issues with cancer and recovered from all of that, and to be back at the top of his game is a wonderful story.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anyone was watching, if they did get to watch that, or if they see it on the replay, I don't know how much afterwards they'll show, but Matt Richardson was in second position. So he did two laps in the qualifying, then two laps in the final of the three-lap event, and he could hardly walk. He had the mask on. You know, it makes me think, well, he's got a big competition coming up with, you know, with Kieran tonight. Today's Kieran for the men and then the sprint competition. And if you make it into the finals of the sprint after doing the team sprints, the Kierans, and then all the rounds of the sprint, if two laps is a bit hard for him, I don't know how he's going to be after 3 or 4 days of competition. And he is the favourite for the men's sprint. So we'll see how he goes and how he can recover each day. But so women's sprint, they're coming out tonight. We have the three Aussies. So Alicia McCaig, who's a youngster, 19-year-old from Bendigo. Good to see how she goes.
Another Bendigo.
The other end of another Bendigonian. Yep. No, I saw her parents in the crowd last night. The family are over there as well. And then Brianna Hargraves from Adelaide. Great story from her as well. She came from athletics. She did ballet up until 19, came to cycling really late. And look, there was discussion about not even selecting her because she's 38. And I am one of the national selectors, so I did step up and defend that. She didn't care. Her age means nothing. It's just the number. We're selecting who the best we have, and she's our second best sprinter at the moment, so good luck to her. And Christina Clonan, she's a genuine medal chance, the Queenslander, so we'll see how she goes in the sprints tonight. Men's and women's individual pursuit, Maeve Plouffe, one of the favourites for the women, and Conor Lay, think in the men, should be able to get a medal as well, if not win it. And the Kierans. So Matt Glatzer will be out. If Matt can win this, It'll be his third Kieran in a row, and then he'll join Neil Farchi last night. He did that in the tandems, won 3 Com Games gold medals in the same event in a row. And he also joins Gary Niewand in the sprint, Brad McGee in the individual pursuit, and Anna Mears in the women's sprint. So making history possibly tonight, Matty Glazer.
Extreme company there. Mm. Well, I know that we're going to have Sam Lane on shortly, so I reckon we should jump to an ad. To
our break, ad yeah, break. And guys, I do have to head off to get to
worries.
The studio. So so if, any other questions from you guys before I do take off though?
Scotty,
any other areas or people you want to plug before you go?
Mount Hotham. I was at Mount Hotham last week skiing with my daughter, and I was there a couple of weeks ago as well. And look, it's costly. It's really costly to go skiing. So if I can plug them as much as possible, who knows?
You wouldn't pay retail, Scotty. You wouldn't.
No,
pay
I do
retail.
At Hotham.
Really?
So the last time I went,
only bikes.
Exactly. True story. We digress. But a few years ago, I took the family up skiing. I've got a really good mate that Peter Grayson, who I used to race against as a kid on the Gold Coast, and he's heavily been into skiing ever since he stopped racing. And he did a deal for the whole family. Mount Hotham supplied the lift tickets. He supplied the accommodation, and I think there was ski hire thrown in and resort entry for the permit to get into the resort. That was all supplied by the mountain. We basically just went skiing, family of four, and had to pay for some food. That was it. And he was going to try and do the same deal, but the resort has been taken over by Vail Resorts in America. They bought Mount Hotham, and no freebies for anyone across the mountain anymore. So it's all evening itself out now. I'm paying full price now, and I was getting freebies before. So I'm still in front. I think I'm still in front.
Don't know why they have to sell.
Thanks, Scotty.
Sounds like they're in business as well.
Yeah. All right, thanks,
Philip Russell says, keep on trucking scooter. So good luck on the call tonight.
I might be after these. Might be back in the trucks, yeah. All right, see you, fellas.
All right, mate. Take it easy. See ya.
See ya, mate.
Scott McGrory. We're going to take a quick drinks break, and then when we come back, we've got Sam Lane live from France, so stay tuned.
Look at this bike. You think it's just a bike, right? But it's not. It's a bike 374 people are looking at. This guy, this girl, them, all looking at it. People from here, there, and wherever this is. People that are looking for a bike. Or just a piece of it. Amateurs, semi-amateurs, and pro-amateurs. This guy wants this bike, but with this crank and these bars. This could be the perfect match. But not this one. This girl has a bike to sell, and thousands of people might purchase it. Eyes on Bikes help grow small businesses. His, hers, yours, and the latest data and insights help those businesses keep moving. We are the world's number one bike marketplace, with over 500,000 products and 900 brands, where buyers and sellers are brought together in a place where a bike is never just a bike. Bike Exchange, where the world buys, sells, learns, and rides.
Thanks again to Bike Exchange. Get over to bikeexchange.com.au. You need a road bike, mountain bike, bike accessories, and they've got a sale on e-bikes. If you just get on the website and just have a browse.
Exactly. No matter where you are in the world, just jump on bikeexchange.com.au and they'll put you in touch with the bike that's meant for you.
And even if you're in France, who our next guest is live, Sam Lane joins the Detour podcast. Sammy, how are you?
Dan, hi, and JT. I mean, I've had many highlights in the last couple of days, which we'll talk about, but hearing your voices, seeing your faces, I now feel like this trip is complete because we've had a few experiences on the road over the years, and you've been generous people to me.
I had a Facebook Live memory pop up from 2015. It was a photo of you, me, and Julie and Dean with sausages on the side of the road at the Tour de France.
Oh my gosh. And I would not have been eating the sausage, probably just like, you know, getting involved in the colour.
You were about 4 foot away. I think you had plenty of distance, but it was great memories. Good to see you doing well. And how are you enjoying the Tour de France Femmes at the moment?
It's amazing. And I'll fill you guys in. You know, I was not coming here. I was just going to be watching at home, which is now Sydney. And of course, like, given how interested I am in women's sport, and then I've had these experiences covering the wonderful sport of cycling with you guys. I mean, I was so amped about this women's Tour de France. And I've received like what is a magic invitation. Zwift, the major partner, as you know, and the naming rights holder, wanted to get some international media, and so I'm finding myself amongst a small contingent and just being shown the inside of this landmark event, because as you guys know, and as we'll talk about, you know, when the most iconic sports event in the world includes women the way it is now, this is like seriously game changing. And I wish you could see it and feel it, because it is every bit as engaging, enthralling, attended, and all the things that we love about the men's Tour de France. It's unfolding here, and it's just magic to see it. So I'm thrilled to the bone. Jet lag does not exist.
Yeah, look, that's very true, Sammy. And I've been blown away by by a few things. One, the crowds have been enormous, yeah, for the, yeah, women. It's just been brilliant. But the enthusiasm of the women cyclists, you can see just how special it has been for them. Yes. You know, and with the interviews after stage, it's been inspiring. It's just blown me away, actually.
JT, it reminds me a lot of the birth of the AFLW. And again, this is, I think, partly why they invited me. I have that experience, as you guys know, of covering the transition of the AFL, including women, with the AFL Women's League. And that only happened 7 years ago. Here we are having the experience in France. But I remember covering AFLW in the beginning where, you know, you do every second interview or even every interview, and you just get these, you know, outpourings of gratitude, yep, emotion, and pure joy of the sport. And we know when sport is elite and at the highest level, that joy can be lost a little bit. It's a problem with our athletes, isn't it? But we are seeing the same joy, the same emotion. These women who are riding this Tour de France Femme, they know what is happening, and they know how important it is, and a platform for their sport and for them, actually. And that's what you're seeing. I heard Marianne Vos, the great Marianne Vos, describe a day's racing, and, you know, she's won two stages. She's worn that yellow jersey that we're seeing now for 5 days. She described one of the days as brutal, but then very quickly she was like, and also beautiful. And that kind of sums it up. You know, there is, of course, the brutality, the gravel, the crashes, but they are beholding this beautiful moment. And I would say the crowds are too. So I hope it's translating all over the world.
Oh, 100%. I'm sure it is.
And she's taking the green jersey as well, Iffy.
Well, look, Marianne Vos, yeah, is a legend. The GOAT, as the greatest of all time in women's racing. And I compare her a little bit to Wout van Aert, in that she's just got such a great spread of skills.
Yeah, but Wout van Aert, as corrected, is the Marianne Vos. You know, like, she's won 242 races.
Look, and she's a legend. She's been around. Look, she's been one of the great champions. She's been world champion on cyclocross, world champion on the track, world champion on the road, Olympic champion on the track and the road. It is mind-boggling. Yeah. But she's almost like she's born again, because she went through a little bit of a period where she slipped away. She had some injuries, and she had a year almost where she wasn't there. She's come back, and she's born again, and she's absolutely killing them. Probably won't win this this race overall. I wouldn't completely cut her out, but she probably will fall away today, tomorrow in the big mountains. But, yeah, I just love her. She is just a superstar.
And I think, you know, another offshoot of this, John and Dan, is that, you know, these women, they've been doing, they've been plying their trade, but we don't know their names so much, especially, you know, in Australia, where it's not like in the Netherlands and everyone's on a bike and everyone knows everyone. What we want is for these women's names to be known, and so that we can say, oh, yeah, Marianne Vos, I know her, and she is the GOAT, you know, and this kind of platform with the Tour de France is going to enable that every day. We're learning new stories, and this will just be so great for cycling as a whole, I would say, because if one bit of cycling gets stronger, all of cycling is stronger. And I know that you guys care about that, and yeah, it's so wonderful.
Look, there was a moment in the finale yesterday that impressed me. I thought she made a mistake, but I still was very impressed, where young Alex Manley, she was right on Marianne Vos's wheel. And I thought, that's perfect. Don't move from there. You stay there. You can run a place in this. But what she did, she reins up alongside and she started fighting Marianne Vos for the wheel of Balsamo. And I thought, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. But anyway, She Marianne Vos actually fought her off, and she ended up getting a little bit too far back. But I thought, well, good on you to have, you know, she wasn't overawed to the fact that she was going to just stay there. She went up and fought her for the other wheel. Turned out to be the wrong thing to do. I was a little bit disappointed, actually, in the stage finish yesterday, in the way it was set up. The four corners they had in the last 500 metres was just too dangerous. It was too dangerous for guys, it was too dangerous for the women. As a matter of fact, no one crashed, but I just thought it was a little bit of a rough finale.
I guess on every bike race we live and learn, don't we? I mean, the day before we saw one of the riders actually take a bum steer and she rode off the course. She was in a really great position at the end until doing that. But I guess as JT would always say, that's bike racing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was Longo Borghini, and yes. I think even the Trek team did a bit of a meme, and they said like bus finish line, like,
yeah. Oh yeah, and I'll tell you what, I don't know. That was 2 days ago, but I don't know how Marianne Vos managed to miss that, because she cut right in front of her, and she just didn't even. Miss the beach, you just kept going. It was close. Real shame, actually, to see Loretta Weeb's crash yesterday, because there's a picture of the finale to it. But probably she might have even won again yesterday, because as it turned out, she probably would have been there at the finish, and she is without doubt the fastest woman sprinter in the world. And that was just sad to see. She took a while to get up and she lost a couple of minutes. So hopefully she can start today, although, you know, she won't be in the mix today in the mountains anyway.
No, it all changes, doesn't it? I mean, every day is a race day, of course, but everyone's sort of saying that the race in terms of who's going to win starts now. It's Saturday here. We've got 2 days, and we're looking at the profile there.
This is stage seven. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a monster.
Intense. Yeah, yeah. So it'll, I mean, what would you guys say? What would you, looking at that, what are you thinking we'll see?
The big today? Question we were talking about yesterday is condition of Annemiek van Vleuten.
Yes.
She's had a bit of a stomach bug, and hopefully she can recover, because if she's on top form and feeling healthy, I mean, she'd have to be right up there, the favourites, iffy. But they're also talking about Longo Borghini and a few others in the mix there. But if you look at the GC.
Vollering. Yeah.
Yeah. The GC we've got at the moment, you know, it's pretty tight there in the top 10, iffy. So it's, as we've said, it's all going to come down to the weekend.
Yeah, look, it is. You know, there's Ludwig, there's the Spanish champion as well, who lost a few minutes through a crash. She'll come back up. Cecile Uttrup, Ludwig, she'll be right in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Marianne Vos does. I mean, she did climb mountains quite well a few years back, but they're talking about her not being in the mix. Something about that yellow jersey on your back, we'll see how she goes today.
If you say it gives you wings, that is the standard line that you always see.
But it does. It has done over the years. But, I mean, it's not like she hasn't done it before. But, look, You were spot on there, Dan. It's interesting to see what Annemiek van Vleuten will do. We know what she's capable of. Only a few weeks ago, she showed everyone in the women's Giro what she could do. But it's hard to come back. It's not like a stomach bug actually weakens you. She's past it now. We'll see how she goes today. But, yeah, we talk about the GOAT being Marianne Vos, but also an equal GOAT, a mountain GOAT,
is Annemiek van Vleuten. Interesting stat. I was talking to Sam Bewley last night, and he was talking about Lorena Wiebe's power output in terms of watts. And he said the what she does with her power output, he said it would absolutely obliterate, 90% of the men's peloton. He said there's a 20 kilo weight difference with him and Lorena, but only a 40 watts difference with the top end of a sprint. And he said that is off the charts. So the stories coming through from this race as well. And as you said, Sam, it's about sharing these stories and getting that coverage. And the big unknown with these events is, will the crowd turn out? Because they're the final piece of the puzzle. If they come out, then it really, solidifies the popularity of this sport, which everyone's known. But the fact that the crowds have come out in force, there's no question anymore. Like, people have always wanted to see this. And hopefully, we were talking to Gracie Alvin about this yesterday, hopefully this, shows other events throughout the world calendar. Don't just rely on things like the Tour de France. That, people want to see it. So there's no excuse.
And I think we'll see, I'm getting a sense of it, Dan, NJT, excuse me, the French television data is showing us already that first stage on the Champs-Élysées for the women averaged almost as much on French television as an average men's stage during the Tour de France. Yeah, so fantastic. I'll be able to relay that in harder form. But, in the things I'm picking up, I gather that first one, and it's a bit like AFLW. When you put it on, build it, and they will come, make it work, invest, put it on the proper platform, put it in the right place at the right time, invest in the people, develop them, and it will fly. Because if you love sport, you love all sport. You just love people doing well.
100%.
Yeah. Look, I'm not sure what's going to be the hardest day, today or tomorrow, because they're both monsters.
This is stage 8.
Today, maybe the Queen's stage, but the stage 8 tomorrow up the La Super Planche de Belleville. How's that? How's my French going there, Sammy?
It's sensational. You've always had it. Seriously. With the Aussie accent, it's
a dream. But I heard Matty Keenan say that they're expecting such a big crowd there now, tomorrow, that they're now going to have to go up in buses, not drive up like they were originally planning to do. So, but I've got to tell, I know you've got to run, Sammy, because you've got others waiting on you and you've got to head off at the start. So we'll let you go. Yeah. But my memories of when you came to the Tour de France when Cadell won, and you come over at the last minute, you only arrived on the last day, and I had to arrange you got there to the start, get your accreditation, you walked into the village straight up where Cadell was, got the best interview of the whole race with Cadell, and I can remember everyone going, how'd she do that? Remember that? What a superstar you were.
I was taught well by you, mister, because you picked me up, and I was there covering the countdown to the London Olympics, and I was harassing the editors of The Age saying, let me go, like, Cadell's going to win. And so they finally relented. I caught the Eurostar over, wrote half the story, and then JT met me. He'd arranged some magic accreditation, as JT does, and then that is true. He led me through the crowds. Cadell, I sort of waved at Cadell, and I'd done a few interviews with him over the years. So he was like, come in. And Georges, beautiful Georges from BMC, the media boss. So he kind of ushered me in. I would still have that audio somewhere. It was probably 37 seconds of Cadell before he rode down the Champs-Élysées to win, formally win the tour. But I just ran off, like, filed on a, park bench, got it in the paper. I think it made the front page of The Age and the SMH. And I was just like, yes, like, what a day. And then we danced all night in Paris. And, oh, God, it was just wild. So more to come. Let's do that, please, again sometime soon.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. Great memories.
So well, good. Enjoy a monster weekend, Sammy. It's going to be unbelievable.
Thanks, Dan. Sammy. Thanks, JT. I wish you were here. It's just so gorgeous to talk to you and to your listeners and watchers, of course. So thank you. It's such a generous sport. You both have taught me so much about it. The people make it tick. And, of course,
Sammy, it's great to talk to you, and it's fantastic that you are over there because, look, you wrote a wonderful book, which I recommend anyone to grab about women's cycling, the birth of the AFL.
Yeah.
And so it is quite fitting that you're over there for something that's quite special. Not that this is the first Women's Tour de France, but it's the rebirth of it, which is absolutely sensational and quite fitting. So look forward to catching up when you get back.
Can't wait. We'll share some stories and enjoy the next 2 days. And thank you so much for having me on.
Nah, thank you. No worries. Thanks for joining us, Sam. And as we said, have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
No worries.
See you, Sam. Bye.
Samantha Lane.
Yeah, a legend. She's a wonderful, wonderful journalist and a real champion of women. The passionate champion of women's sport.
Yeah, 100%.
And her book, I can't even think of the title of it now, so she'll shoot me for that. But it was a wonderful read because she was very much a part of the birth of the women's AFL. So, brilliant.
Fantastic.
Brilliant stuff.
Last couple of live questions. Jacques C says, do you think SD Works not taking advantage of Annemiek van Vleuten's illness is going to be a mistake leading into the mountains?
Yes, I do. I do. I think they needed to attack the heck out of her. She got back and she lost a little bit of time towards the end, but she's only a minute something down and that can all change. And if she's recovered, she's still the one to beat.
Carolyn Harbeck says, good to see Ruby having a crack. Christopher Stapleton says, always enjoy your podcast. Thanks for the support, mate. And Jared Davison's, hi, guys. Thanks for the great podcast supporting the women. Well done.
It was a great ride of Ruby Roseman-Gannon yesterday. She was in that move. That was a strong break, but they never got given just enough. She was a chance there for sure. They're stepping up the Aussie girls. As I said, Alex Manley, she was right in there, bumping shoulders with the big hitters yesterday. It was great to watch.
Who's your tip for stage 7? If you reckon Annemiek will be over the illness?
Yeah, look, it's really interesting, isn't it? I think she is. But I'm going to go with Vollering.
Okay. Vollering.
Yep. She's my pick for tonight. Yep.
Yep. And that's the same as the Wheel Wizard. Doesn't matter. Demi Vollering will still ride well. So there you go.
Yep.
We're
on together, mate.
All right. We'll be back again 5 o'clock tomorrow, Iffy.
Yep, 5 o'clock.
All right, 5 o'clock.
See who we can get on. And hopefully we can get Scotty give us an update, a bit more of the comp going. It was great to catch him again.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. Thanks to obviously Scooter and Sam Lane for being on the show. And we'll see you again tomorrow, guys, 5 o'clock. See you then.
Be there, be square.
Jeez.